imagine things. I've just always been that way. When I always like, you know, imagining things. And I could see, I was picturing in my head a little video while they were singing this, and thinking about, you know, Jesus being on that cross. And you're one of those, I would be one of those that are just standing around the cross waiting to see what's going to happen. You see his mom over there, and you see John, and see a few other women. And then Jesus makes eye contact with you. He says, I know you. Wow. Man, that's what it's going to be like. And I just love that. I can just see that what we would do if we, you know, if we were just sitting there and he looked at you and just said, I know you. I love you. Man, what a God. All right, turn with me to Acts chapter 13, if you would, please, as we continue our study on major events, people of the Bible. We're going to look real quick at Paul's first missionary journey. The book of Acts, since, you know, the start of the church was there, as they began to preach the word and see people saved, was in Jerusalem, and they had a lot of different things up to this point that had been happening. But one thing that Acts teaches us is about missions, about the journey that Paul was called to, how it all started, how missions are supposed to work. And just so you'll know, I don't know really the history of it, but missions and missionary are not words that are used in the scriptures. I think they came by hundreds of years ago by another religion that used that term, and we just probably kind of adopted it later to describe someone who would leave their home church to go out and preach and teach the gospel to other people in other areas. And we kind of adopted the word missions for that. But the way it's used here is when we look at these scriptures, we're not going to look through chapters 13 and 14, but that's really, we're going to just look at a few verses in there to explain missions and how it works, what it was doing then. We know there's been a lot of changes to the way people do missions now. And, you know, so we have to look at what works, what doesn't, what's best, what isn't. And we can see what God, how God established, just like in the church, and he showed us how he wants the church to function, what ordinances the church is going to have, what offices the church is going to have, the responsibility of the church, what our mission and our goal and our command is as a church. And so he maps that out for the church, but he also matches that for missions as well. So first of all, we see the agency. And verse number one, chapter 13. Now there was in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Maon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And we're not going to read all the parts of the journey that they took, but the first thing we see is God uses the church to send forth missions, or send forth these men, send forth people into the field. What we see here is they were together at this church at Antioch. There are prophets and teachers and these other guys that are mentioned here. And God, the Holy Spirit, speaks to these men. And I believe also he was speaking to the church, the leadership there, that this is what needs to happen. Saul and Barnabas needs to be set forth, and they need to go out on this journey. And so God uses the church, and God selects the men who are already active and prepared. there was a team effort going on here. And I think that's the best way to do missions, even though we see couples come through and they're kind of on their own. But what I've seen lately, which is what I really enjoy, I don't know if somebody's been teaching them this at different places, but lately we've been seeing bunches of missionaries come through that say that they are going to a field, but they're going to hook up with certain pastor, preacher, church over there and serve with them for a while before they go out into another area. And I think that's the best thing they could do, because we see here that God didn't send out just Barnabas or just Saul. He sent them together, because it's difficult to go by yourself somewhere, but when you're in a team effort, you got the church behind you, that's your supporting church, Church of Antioch, that they are behind the calling of God that's upon these two men to send them forth so they could go do something for the Lord. And so God uses them, but he didn't pull out somebody who was sitting back and relaxing, not doing anything for God. He pulled somebody who was already fasting and praying and ministering, it says here. They were already involved right there in the Church of Antioch. But sometimes God uses those people who are actively involved in the work of God to do something else for God. I've never seen that God called somebody who is doing nothing for him to do something. He wants to see our faithfulness in the home church, in our local church, doing what we're supposed to do here before he's going to use you somewhere else. Yeah, yeah. I have a problem when someone says, well, I think God's called me to do this, and they weren't doing nothing beforehand for the Lord. And it catches the pastor off guard. It catches the leadership off guard by the decision that they made, because they think, well, God called me. No, God speaks through the local church, the institution he established, to send forth missionaries. And that's why we believe it's a mission-minded church needs to be a local church, a church sent. And there's a lot of different agencies out there and boards and other things that help out missionaries. And I'm not totally against all that. I think when they offer life insurance or medical insurance, other things they do, that could help some missionaries in certain areas. And I think it's a good idea. However, they're not sent by that board or by some agency or by some group. They're sent by the church. They have a lot of other Christian groups out there to try to do mission works. And I understand what they're doing, and they're not doing a bad job on how they're organizing and getting people involved. And we know there's medical missions and there's other things out there that people do. And I have no problem with that as they're preaching the gospel. But the important thing to remind us is that when God calls somebody, it's through a local church, through a call from God himself, and he uses these people who are already working for the Lord. And God, the Holy Spirit here, calls out these men, and the church sends them out with the church's authority. That's what the whole thing is when it says lay hands on them. It wasn't because they needed to receive the Holy Ghost or something. It wasn't receive some kind of power from God. It was to show that they are given authority to these men to go out and do a work for God. That's why they had the ability to start a church, and that's why they had the ability to appoint a pastor, and that's why they had the ability to baptize, is because they weren't doing it in their own authority. They're doing it through the authority of the Church of Antioch and the other places that we see people that were sent out from. And so that's God's plan. God's plan for missions is dictates that the men will be willing and ready to go. And these were two that went through 9 different cities to spread the gospel. And that's what God uses. He could have pulled out other people. You see earlier in some chapters, we talked about a couple weeks ago about Philip and how God called Philip to talk to that particular person. And yes, you could call that mission work. There's no reason why you couldn't call it that. But that was an instance that God wanted to get that one particular person the gospel. He knew their heart was ready for it, and he used Philip, because Philip, again, was a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, ministering with God, busy with God, and God used him and directed him to talk to certain people. Here we see Saul and Barnabas, as they go through these 9 different cities, they're there not just to talk, to preach the word of God, but to establish works in those cities. That's the difference. And so we see the agency God uses for missions is the church. The adventure that they took here is that they went to several different developments along the way. First of all, we'll just look at just a couple quick verses. In chapter 13, verses 7, we see a conversion of a deputy. It says, "In which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul to desire to hear the word of God." And so we see the conversion of this deputy. And then chapter 13, verses 13 through 52, we see that they had an open door in Pisidia to preach the gospel there. And then in verse number 13, we see that John Mark, which went with them, leaves for a particular period of time. And that was something that they kind of caught them off guard, but they continued to move forward through that difficulty. And then we see in chapter 14, verses 8 through 10, healing of a lame man that they met along the way. It talks about how, and there was a certain man of Lystra, impotent on his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb and never had walked. And the same heard Paul speaking steadfastly, beholding him, perceiving that he had the faith to be healed, and said with a loud voice, "Stand up on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And so during these works that they're establishing, we see this man was healed. Verses 11 through 18 of the same chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas are worshipped. You remember that story? They go into this town, and it says, when the people saw Paul, what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in a speech of Lasonian, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they began to worship Paul and Barnabas. And, of course, Paul and Barnabas had them stop as soon as they figured out what was going on. Verse 14, they rent their clothes and ran among the people, crying, and said, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We are also men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from your these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." And so during this mission journey, they had people saved, they had open doors, they had different difficulties come up during a time frame. And here we see Paul and Barnabas, they're being worshipped. And at verse 19 after that, when they figured out that they weren't gods, they wanted to stone them. So that's how fickle crowds are, man. For one moment they're saying, you know, "Oh, all hail to Jesus," and then crucify him. And then here, same things happen. "Oh, there are gods that come down because they did one miracle to a lame man," and they missed the whole point. And when God finally, and when they showed them how God worked it out and God did all this, and they should believe in God, not all these other things that they're believing, they wanted to stone them. And these Jews over there persuaded him to stone him and drew him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. They thought Paul was dead. They stoned him so bad. But this was part of the work. And we're glad that we hear good things from the missionaries that we support and the land that they're in, that God keeps them safe and protected. But it's not always that way. When we're doing the work of God, no matter whether it's in our own hometown or some overseas, difficulties, tribulations may arise, but God is involved in all that. And we could say, well, you know, God could have kept him from stoning Paul. Yeah, he definitely could have. But there, God has a purpose for everything he does. And these people eventually saw the working hand of God and were changed by the testimonies of Paul and Barnabas. So we see that the adventure they took, but we also see what we'll call the agenda of missions. And there were some basic principles these men followed. Every one of them, we see these, where they go in and they follow these same principles of going into a city, finding some people or believers, meeting together, preaching the word of God, and establishing a work and finding an elder to find over that work, and so they could move on to a different city. Sometimes they stayed there a few weeks. Sometimes they stayed several years. It just depends on what God wanted to do. The only message that we see that they preached them was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you look in verse 21, it says, "And they, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch." And so they were preaching the word of God to them. That's what they did. That was the whole point of missions, is to preach the word, get people saved, baptized into that local assembly, and have someone take over as to pastor that group. It doesn't say that they had to have 200 or 300. It just says they have people to gather together that really want to worship the Lord and learn God's word. And that's what it was. These churches that they established didn't run thousands. They just did exactly what God wanted them to do. Then they established churches using the local baptized believers in that area. They trained them. They encouraged the churches to do the work for themselves. And we see that later as he takes another missionary journey. He comes back through and visits some of the churches that they had established just to make sure they're okay, everything's going good, and to encourage the brethren. They weren't there to rule and reign over them. That's some things that sometimes we get messed up in missions is that, you know, our purpose for missions is to preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we're there. Then to establish a church and to get people saved and baptized and in that local assembly, teaching them the word of God, training them, encouraging them. But then we allow the local to find someone to pastor that church and take over, and our hands are off. It's difficult sometimes for American missionaries to go overseas somewhere and to what they say is trust the locals to do the right thing, because they're afraid that they're going to, you know, take all the money and run, or they're not going to follow God's way. And they try to oversee too much. And we forget that it's God's church, it's God's work. We get so Americanized in the way a church needs to be run that we try to do that in other countries. And it's not the same in other countries. It can't be run exactly the same in other countries. They're different. Their culture is different. Their way of life is different. And so trying to go in there and Americanize them with American songs and American hymns and American way of life and American church is not going to work most of the time. We have to do it their way. And that's why you see the smart missionaries that we have, they allow the locals to come in to follow their lead, and they find a local person to pastor that work because that's best for them. They know the culture. They know the people. They know the language. We're just there trying to get things started and help them to teach and to preach the word of God. So Paul's journey, that he had a lot of different things that happened to him while he was out there. But the thing to remember is that God called them from this church in Antioch, used the men of God to place their hands on, give me authority, go out and do something for the Lord. And that's what missions is about. It's about us being faithful to God, following his work, establishing what we can in whatever area God wants us to work in. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for a few moments as we pray for our needs on our list today, and pray that God will come through and work in these people's hearts and lives, and people get saved and help and encouraged.